Hello and welcome to the 17th edition of the Neo Gamer Podcast. It is Tuesday, May 1st, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, as always. And I'm John Callahan. Thank you again for joining us, for those of you who are listening and watching us on the live stream. And with us, as always, is Larry Cooney. How are you, Larry?
Good, John. I'm tired, but I'm good. How about you?
Same here, Larry. We're just chatting before the podcast started. We both had long days today, so yep. We're kind of tired. Bright-eyed and pushy-tailed in Australia, where it's 9 a.m. in the morning, is Tim. How you doing, Tim?
Hey, guys. I'm doing pretty good. I'm not that tired, but, you know, I only woke up about an hour ago, so
yeah, exactly.
Good podcast.
Exactly. So, yeah, we're here for our 17th podcast, and we're also only 5 weeks away from E3 2012. Hard to believe. We're getting close to that big day, and like I said, I've been trying to get – I've got to sign up for all these appointments and press events. I've already signed up to attend Microsoft's and EA's press event, and I have to get going on the others. So nice. We'll be looking forward to that. I'm going to announce right up front. Last week, I kind of hinted about this, but I'll go ahead and announce this. We are going to have a sponsor for our E3 2012 coverage. Our sponsor actually is War Inc. Battlezone. This is a free-to-play shooter game, which is both first and third person shooter. You can switch between the two modes. It's being developed by a team in Los Angeles called Online Warmongers. They're going to be sponsoring our E3 2012 coverage. So be on the lookout on that when our coverage begins, and we really appreciate their support.
Yeah, nice.
Definitely. Yeah. Cool. So we'll talk about more about that in the weeks to come, but before we do that, let's just go over our the week's news. Once again, we had a very busy week in terms of news. One of the big news events was the fact that Valve is going to be releasing a free Portal 2 level editor. Actually, it's more of a puzzle editor than a level editor, on May 8th, which is a week from today. This will be free for the PC and Mac versions. No word about the console versions. And Val was very nice enough to send me a Steam code so I can check out the puzzle editor for myself, which I've been doing for a few hours yesterday and today. And I will freely admit that I'm not a game developer. I'm not a level editor. But I will say that this the interface that they have created for this puzzle editor is so simple, anybody could use it to create simple Portal 2 puzzles. And of course, people who really want to go nuts can do so and very quickly by just, you can just place any kind of entities, any kind of, you know, the lasers, the traps, the turrets, anything that you really want in a room. You can also alter the room itself quickly with just some drag and drop user interface. It's obviously not as sophisticated as a full game developer level editor that you've probably seen, you know, demonstrate in the past. But, you know, I'm very impressed with the functionality of the level editor that I got to check out. And I predict there's going to be an explosion of really cool puzzles and maps for Portal 2 a week from today when this thing is actually released. So it's actually pretty darn cool.
So are the levels like cross-platform? Like when you upload them or whatever, can you access them on like Xbox and stuff? Or is it just for the...
No. I think this is just for the PC and Mac. I don't believe there will be any cross-platform support for the Xbox 360 or the PS3. So, yeah, which is kind of weird because the PS3 actually is tied into Steam.
They could probably have the levels across, but oh well.
Yeah. I'll try and email Valve about that, see, make sure. But I'm pretty sure that the console folks are out of luck. Although, you know, Valve's pretty good about releasing, you know, updates to the console stuff as well. So eventually they may get it. But I also got to try out a couple of the levels that other people, some of the beta testers at the Portal 2 puzzle editor, have created, and they're pretty wild stuff. It's really hard to describe the levels, obviously, but they're fiendishly clever and challenging. And like I said, we're going to see a lot of very impressive looking puzzles for Portal 2 coming out. So I guess this is going to be a free update coming out a week from today for the PC and Mac owners. So any you guys have any other questions about it that I can possibly answer?
No, I think I covered mine.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to what the community creates. I'm thinking some possible DLC down the road for the console owners, maybe. Maybe Valve will take the best that the community makes and release it for free, you know?
That'd be cool.
I think that would certainly be a good thing for Valve to do, and I'm pretty sure that they might in fact do that sort of thing. Like I said, Valve said I can email them for questions or interviews, and I may do that this week. So I probably definitely will do that this week. So we'll probably get some more information about that.
Very cool.
We also had a bit of a giveaway on NeoGamer this week. We've had 15 Counter-Strike Global Offensive beta keys to give out. The contest is already over with, and we're starting to send those keys to the winners. Those winners that have received, that have responded to our emails. By the way, if you received an email, please respond. We've still got a few keys. A few winners that haven't responded to our response, and we need to do that ASAP. So make sure you get to, so if you happen to be listening to this podcast, make sure you do that. But Larry, I know you got yourself a key, and you got to play in the beta. What were your impressions about it?
I'm digging it. I'm actually trying to find a game right now.
Really?
Yeah, I figure why not try to play while we're talking about it. There's not much to say. It's, in my opinion, it's pretty much classic Counter-Strike. I think I think they did make it a little more friendly, believe it or not. I put in some serious hours into Counter-Strike Source. I think somewhere over the 200 mark at one point. And I did used to rent a server with my brother-in-law at the time. He was just my good friend. But now, you know, he's my brother-in-law and my other good friend. We actually rented a Counter-Strike server and ran it. So I was pretty seriously into it. But with that said, I would always freely admit I was never like a very good player. I was decent. I could hold my own, and it was just I was never like one of those guys that dominated, you know. And I checked out a couple rounds on this new one, and I was either at the top or towards the top of the leaderboard every time. So they did something to make it a little easier.
And, well, maybe you've got better.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But it kind of seemed like classic Counter-Strike. But, like, for example, I played the one mode, what's the name of it? Domination or something like that, I think, where everyone starts out with just one weapon, and if you kill someone, you get a weapon next round. It's pretty cool. It's very cool. I like how it works. But I was able to get myself the Deagle, the Desert Eagle, and literally I fired three bullets, and two of them were headshots. And, like, I could kind of pull that off in Counter-Strike Source, but, like, it seemed really incredibly easy when I was playing. So I liked it. So I kind of liked that it seemed a little bit easier. And but, yeah, it was for the most part classic Counter-Strike. And, you know, obviously I did play it on the PC because that's what the beta's on. So I'm actually more curious to see how it translates to the consoles. And that to me is going to be the most interesting part of it. But no, I dug it, and it seemed pretty refined to me. You know, I will say one thing: the Source engine is starting to look pretty outdated. I do have to say that.
I think that's definitely a must. I mean, obviously for a game like Portal 2, where graphics are not necessarily the most important thing, it's fine. But, yeah, if you're going to make a realistic-looking first-person shooter, you're going to have to compete with things like the Call of Duty games or the Battlefield games. And if you have a game like that, that's not going to look as good. And it's probably not going to be you're probably not going to get a huge audience for it, at least nowadays. So
yeah, no, but the visuals definitely take a hit. And I mean, don't get me wrong, they look better than the old Counter-Strike, but
sure,
they don't look that great, especially like you said, when you compare it to like a Battlefield 3. Like it's not even a comparison, really. So I think you will hear some people complaining about that, but other than that, it's fun and it is classic Counter-Strike, so I liked it.
Yeah,
like you said, go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, as long as the gameplay is actually good, then I think people, you know, step back a bit from complaining about the graphics. So yeah, I'm actually going to check it out when it comes to the consoles, because I don't really play PC games myself. But yeah, it definitely looks like a good game, especially from what you said.
But to just to comment on what you said, like there is another part of me too that is real curious how the gameplay is going to be accepted by the more modern gamer, so to speak, because people are used to a Call of Duty and Battlefield, you know, and it's definitely a much different game than that. And I'm not sure if you've ever played it, Tim, but it's definitely a skill-based game. That's the easiest way to put it. And one and done. If you get killed, you're done. That's how the matches work. So it's kind of like, you know, people might not be able to put up with that. We'll see. But, you know, obviously if people are fans of it, they'll know what to expect. But I could see a lot of people that's never played the series but decide to check it out on the name alone. I could see a lot of people saying, what the hell is this? I die right away, blah, blah, blah. So I'm kind of curious to see how this winds up panning out for Valve.
Yep, I too am curious about what the console folks will think about this kind of a game. So we'll see what happens with that. It's probably not going to be coming out for a few months yet. Probably won't be out until sometime this summer, I would imagine. So they still got some time to put some refinements on it. So quite a few other bits of news. Did you guys happen to see the reveal of the next God of War game getting multiplayer?
Yes.
What did you guys think about that? Oh, did you?
I'll have a look right now.
God of War Ascension is the new game that's coming out from Sony. And this past Monday, they actually revealed that it's going to have a multiplayer mode for the first time. Some team-based.
Now that I think about it, I got emailed that and I just skimmed it. Must have missed that, that multiplayer. But yeah, oh well.
It looks interesting. I mean, I'm very. It's definitely not, you know, like a Call of Duty game. It's definitely a game that looks like it's going to have a God of War look and feel, with things like objective based team place gameplay and some kind of leveling up, you know, some player classes type of stuff. And of course, you have big, huge monsters that kind of roam, kind of in the background, but kind of not, kind of force themselves in the foreground, and you have to take them out. It looks actually pretty cool.
No, that's kind of my thoughts as well. It looks really. You said it the same exact thing I thought. Interesting. It looks like they're kind of. Because, you know, having their own take on multiplayer, and it almost looks like co-op multiplayer, but there are teams, so I'm interested, you know, as long as they could keep the single player the same high level that I think they had with God of War 3, then why not check it out, you know, that's the way I see it.
Yeah, I was about to say that, Larry, that if they, as long as they keep the single player good, then, you know, adding a multiplayer mode, you know, could be good for some people, but I mean, I'm not a fan of games that sort of add in multiplayer for the hell of it, but if they do a good job and they don't, you know, sacrifice their development team for making, you know, the single player, then yeah, why not?
Yep. I think this is going to be one of those instances where multiplayer is definitely a major portion of the game and not just thrown in as an afterthought. I mean, let's face that. We've all played games that have had multiplayer thrown in as just, you know, feels like it's been developed inside of 2 weeks. And it looks like this one has really got some real thoughts about it. So we'll see what happens. Certainly the God of War games have got a huge following for the PlayStation 3. And if Sonica creates a compelling multiplayer game experience. I think people will enjoy it.
Yep.
So there was some interesting news. There's been quite a bit of news in terms of various Kickstarter projects that have been popping up for the past week. I'll just hit the big one, Shadowrun Returns, which we've mentioned in the past. It has exceeded, it has ended its campaign with $1.8 million, which is an incredible amount for a game that was only supposed to get $400,000 for the goal. And actually, if you add, they apparently added some PayPal support for people who weren't able to use Kickstarter, and they actually got close to $1.9 million. So that's very impressive. Some other news on that. The Leisure Suit Larry game is actually getting only 17 hours to go for the Leisure Suit Larry remake Kickstarter project. It has exceeded its $500,000 goal with 17 hours to go. So that's pretty cool. So we got another game that we're going to be it's going to be funded via Kickstarter. And there's even yet another game that's that will be funded because of Kickstarter. It's called Necro. It's being developed by a team that's been it's basically a fantasy action RPG game. He's had people who have developed were for Blizzard and Microsoft and things like that. It had a relatively modest $100,000 goal, but with 52 hours ago, it has actually exceeded. It is now at $118,000. So that's the three projects that have been funded via Kickstarter that are going to be coming out, hopefully, in the near future. But I wanted to focus on yet another project that will not be funded at any time soon, and that's a game called Mythic, and that was brought to our attention this morning. We actually posted it on NeoGamer. This Kickstarter game, this kind of project, turned out to be a bit of a fraud. And I don't know if you guys are aware of it. Yeah.
I'm just reading the article now.
Yep. It's basically this group, probably just one person, posted up this Kickstarter funding campaign for $80,000 for this game called Mythic. After it was posted, people started going, hey, some of the artwork, well, in fact, all of the artwork for this game that you displayed has been taken from other websites and other games. And, you know, people started putting two to two together, and they figured out that this game was, in fact, an attempt to defraud people via Kickstarter. And it's been canceled, and the guy who is supposedly one of the leaders of this has gone in AWOL. And just looking at the Kickstarter page, you know, I was only aware about it until today, until after all this thing happened. But just looking at his Kickstarter page, it looks really unprofessional compared to the other Kickstarter projects that have been posted, that have been successfully posted from these other major game developers. It looks like a teenager created. And the video, I mean, I could probably create a better video, Kickstarter video, than the one they created, this one here. So there are lots of red flags on this thing. And I think that two lessons should be learned from this. One is that don't jump on any Kickstarter project that you see. And the other is that Kickstarter probably should maybe look into what they approve for a Kickstarter project before they start putting it live on their site. So I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Yeah, some sort of verification might be handy, you know, getting down some of these people's details just in case they happen to go and scam people like what happened here. But yeah, definitely be careful because this stuff obviously can and does happen. So yeah, it's been unfortunate for the project though.
Yeah, unfortunately, it was just a matter of time before someone tried it. There's always Unfortunately, there's idiots on the internet, so, you know.
Yep.
I'm actually a little shocked it took this long, to be honest, but hopefully it did. Now, did they say people will be getting their money back? I'm assuming they will be, right?
Well, obviously the project was canceled, and for any kind of canceled project or a project that doesn't reach its goal, you know, no one loses any money. So that's good. So no one lost any money, but if you got $80,000, if this guy managed to get $80,000 within his goal and kept everyone in the dark, then he could have possibly walked away with a nice, cool $80,000 payday and show nothing for it. So it's, like I said, like you said, Larry, I'm surprised it's actually taken this long for someone like something like this to pop up. And this guy was pretty brazen, you know. He obviously, you know, was aiming to get some people's money. So, and like I said, I look at the Kickstarter page, and again, I only saw this until after all this stuff happened. But just looking at, you know, it's obvious this thing's pretty cagey from the outset, unlike any of the others who, you know, had established, you know. Established game developers for the most part, people who you can contact, people who you can email, people who had history, you know, and their video presentations look professional. This guy's presentation looked like it was made in 5 minutes on, you know, Photoshop and you know, iMovie.
Oh man.
So yeah, good try, buddy, but not so much.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
At least people clued in.
Some other news that popped up. I guess we'll probably quickly mention the fact that Call of Duty Black Ops 2 is supposed to be officially announced later tonight. Although, in fact, you know, some of the stuff actually got leaked out earlier this morning, thanks to the UK website. It looks pretty cool, I have to say. Again, the actual official Call of Duty trailer isn't supposed to debut until later tonight, but from what we've seen, it looks like it's going to have some kind of near future setting, you know, taking place somewhere, maybe have some battles in Los Angeles.
Yeah, they say 21st century, you know, Cold War on the little thing that they took from the UK website.
Yeah, so it's going to be... Looks like it's going to be pretty cool. We'll probably talk more about that next week when Activision talks more about the game. But I thought I'd quickly mention it. Also, there's some rumors, unsubstantiated rumors about perhaps a Half-Life 3 announcement that could be very close to popping up. You know, there's some Twitter messages popping up from the Ethersphere that says there's things like "Rise and Shine, Mr. Freeman, Rise and Shine." You know, things like "Wake up and smell the ashes." Things like that. I'm dubious, to be honest. I'm very dubious that this is actually a Half-Life 3 announcement anytime soon. I think Valve would have, because Valve has done this kind of thing before. They've launched, you know, alternate reality games for things like Portal 2. You remember Portal 2 when Valve had some independent game developers put in some Portal 2 content in their games? Do you remember that?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah. They were very clever about that. And I don't see anything clever about any of this stuff. That's just me. So I'll be more than happy to hear about news about Half-Life 3, but I just don't think it's coming. For that, you know, what do you guys?
Yeah, I agree with you as well. I don't know. It doesn't. It almost seems like there's too much talk about it. So just for that fact alone, it's not going to happen. I almost feel like you know, if you mention it, then Valve purposely is going to not say anything. So, yeah, I'd be, you know, possibly one of my favorite game series ever, honestly. So I'm I really wish there would be something, and I cannot wait for a Half-Life 3. But you know, I'm with you. I'd be really, really shocked if it winds up being true.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see about that. Larry, you got to? Did you want to talk? I haven't had a chance to play Prototype 2 yet, mainly because I actually thought it was coming out for the PC the same time as it was coming out for the Xbox 360 and the PS3, and it's not.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's coming out in July. So.
Wait, oh wow.
That yeah. sucks.
That sucks. So, yeah. But you got to play it, right? What were your impressions about it?
I wasn't too impressed.
Really?
To be honest.
Oh,
yeah, really.
No.
I don't. Hey, I mean, you may still like it. I don't know. I mean, I let me say this. This might, you know, kind of frame what I'm about to say. I didn't think the first one was that great of a game. I thought it was good, but I didn't think it was like a fantastic game. And if you actually asked me, I don't know if you guys recall, but when Prototype was released, Infamous, the first one, was kind of released around the same time. So it was kind of like a Infamous versus Prototype, which one was better. And I actually happened to like Infamous more because I thought it kind of captured the whole kind of being a superhero more, if that makes... I kind of felt more like a Spider-Man in Infamous, even though he wasn't Spider-Man. I just felt like his powers were a little more like superhero-ish and not so over the top. So believe it or not, that's what I'm not a big fan of in Prototype. Like, I almost feel like you start off too powerful too fast. yeah,
I kind of like that myself, but
yeah, and I was just about to say, I'm sure plenty of people would really like that, and you know, I actually think that's why it might appeal to a lot more people, but I don't know. I just kind of like, for example, like just running up buildings, like it's incredibly, incredibly easy in Prototype. Like it almost feels like it takes absolutely no skill to do. Where like in Infamous, even though like it wasn't necessarily skill based. Yeah, there kind of seemed like you kind of had to guide your guy a little bit more, and at the end of the day, it seemed a little bit more challenging. Where literally Prototype 2, hold down right trigger, and you're just zooming up the buildings, and it doesn't matter if I'm falling through the ground, you know, falling to the ground. If I happen to be near a building and press R2, I'm running back up it. So like, I don't know. It's just the combination of that, like, again, I could totally see why people – that would appeal to people and why they would actually like it more than, like, an Infamous. But I kind of like a little bit of challenge to my those type of games, and it's just not there for me yet. And, you know, so far the missions – and this has always been my beef with more of these open-world games. So far the missions are pretty generic, you know, go talk to this guy and complete this task. And so – you know, maybe it'll grow on me a little bit more. I haven't completely written it off yet, but I have to say, I kind of, for some reason, expected more.
Yeah,
I agree with the first one. I think it lacked a bit of polish, you know. Like, I enjoyed the gameplay and all that, but there are just some things that reminded me a lot of actually that incredible Hulk game made for the Xbox back in, like, 2000.
Yeah,
I love that game,
2 or something. Yeah.
I love that game, yeah.
It reminded me a lot of that, but just it seemed to have the same amount of no polish, like they hadn't, you know, taken the ideas from that game and, you know, improved it and made it awesome. Like it was great, but it wasn't, you know, like a top notch, you know, this is a big game of the year sort of thing. So yeah, I'm looking forward to checking out Prototype 2, but yeah, I'm not sure it'll be amazing or anything, like you said, Larry.
The visuals are definitely an improvement. There was a noticeable upgrade in the visuals, but yeah, the story kind of is like, and I actually read this in a couple of reviews. I did decide to read a couple of reviews on it after I checked it out, and it seems to be kind of universally panned again, once again, for like the story. It's kind of like, it's kind of your typical story as well, and I don't want to ruin anything for people that play it, but like, there was nothing fantastic about the story by any means. So but at the end of the day, I've gone on record. I don't need a very good story anyway. I just need a good action game. And, you know, so it could very well wind up growing on me. And maybe I was just in, like, a mood or something. But I actually I actually stopped playing it to go continue playing Trials HD. So
yeah.
that should say something. I could have actually played it. I had a rare Saturday where I had nothing to do and like 6 hours to game, and I only played Prototype. My plan was to play it all 6 hours, and I only wound up playing it for about 2 hours. And the rest I wound up checking out Trials and Rayman on my Vita. So that kind of says something to me.
Yeah, it seems like they didn't improve it from what you're
saying. Yeah, no. Yeah, like the definite upgrade on visuals, so that's an improvement. But everything else kind of did seem familiar, and it kind of felt like the same exact mechanics. So I was definitely a little disappointed there.
Yep. Yep. Well, like I said, I actually enjoyed the first Prototype quite a lot. I like games that say, hey, you're a pretty powerful person. You don't have to level up. You don't have to learn all these super skills. You're powerful from the get-go. And I actually enjoy that. I didn't mind the fact that it was a relatively poor story. You know, I like being able to charge on that. And it sounds like that this Prototype 2 is going to be more of the same. So once the game comes out on the PC, I'm sure I will probably like it more than you guys will.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think I'll like it. Just not,
yeah.
Not heaps, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, all like right. I think it's a perfectly adequate game for what it does, but it's not going to be any up for any game of the year. So to take a quote from what Tim said, like, you know, it could potentially have been something bigger, but I think they're okay with leaving it what it was. But I did want to say one thing real quick. Isn't the team that made Prototype, didn't they have something to do with that Incredible Hulk game?
I think it was the same team. It was the same team.
Yeah.
That would explain a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think this was basically a natural continuation about what they were trying to do. Yeah. So yeah, all right. So it still sounds like a game I'm going to try, probably enjoy. So
a nice interim game between now and Max Payne 3, I think.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
That's
yep.
My big indeed. Game. Cannot wait.
Yep. Yeah, that's going to be the actually, I was just looking at next week. Next week is pretty light in terms of game releases, at least for consoles. I think the Starhawk game for the PS3 is probably going to be the big one. I'm actually not terribly familiar. I played Warhawk, which is kind of a continuation of that sort of, and I actually liked it. But I'm not too familiar with how Starhawk actually continues that kind of situation. Are you familiar with it, Larry?
Yeah, I played the beta. I checked out the beta. It's the same exact game as Warhawk, except different vehicles. That's basically the easiest way to look at it. Yeah, yeah. It's just more like, I think you probably like it more. It's more like space sci-fi type theme, and you have it's got more like you have your mech in it, you have more like there is like a spaceship type thing, well, and that actually transforms into the mech, and it's more it's just got a more sci-fi vibe to it. So you know, I think if you like Warhawk, I think you'll probably like this, because it's pretty much the same game, just different vehicles.
Really?
And a different vibe. Yeah Yep.
I'll have to try that. Yeah. Are they going to sell it the same way? I know they're going to release a retail version, but they're also going to sell it on the PS Store.
I believe so.
All right. Cool. I'll have to download that. Check that out.
I'm renting it. Cool. So I'll definitely be checking it out. I'm going to rent it first just to make sure. But I played the beta a couple nights when it came out, and it was solid, and this was a couple months ago, so I could only imagine they improved it. It has a pretty good, cool little mini game to it where you actually build what you want to deploy. So you have to kind of manage your resources, and the way to get them back is to get kills or whatever, but you could totally build yourself a little base that will give you ammunition, for example, or you could straight up build yourself or you could build yourself the mech but blow all your resources, like stuff along those lines. So it's pretty cool too, because whatever you build drops out of the sky. So the very beginning of the match is just an incredibly hectic scene where there's tons of stuff just falling out the sky because everyone's building their initial whatever. So it's It's actually pretty cool. Like I said, if you're a fan of Warhawk, to me...
Oh, yeah, I was a huge fan of Warhawk, yeah.
Yeah. It has the same exact flying mechanics as Warhawk, more or less, with the mechs and all that. Yeah, so, I think it's a... To me, I don't think Warhawk got enough credit. I thought it was one of the better PS3 titles, you know.
Me too, definitely. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I'm kind of looking forward to this one.
All right. A couple of downloadable games to mention that's coming out next week. The big one for the Xbox 360 is the Xbox 360 port of Minecraft, which is, of course, the huge hit on the PC that has sold over 5 million copies and has also been ported over to the Android, which has also sold quite a bit. And so the Xbox 360 version is going to be coming out for 1,600 Microsoft points or $20, which is actually pretty pricey for a Xbox Live Arcade game. Usually it's like 10 or 15, so we'll see how that works. But I'm sure it will sell very well. Not my kind of game, I will say, but I'm sure if the PC and Android versions have sold well, the Xbox 360 version will do very well too. Couple of PC games that are coming out for download. One is a Nexus, the PC version of Nexus, which actually came out for the PS, for the Xbox 360 not too long ago. I'm actually hoping to get some giveaways, hopefully, on Nexus before too long. I'm in contact with those guys, so maybe we'll have some PC codes to give away before too long.
Nice.
And my favorite title for a game coming out this week is Orion Dino Beatdown. this is from Spiral Game Studios. This is kind of a multiplayer first-person shooter where it's basically a combination of Halo with dinosaurs put into it. And it's coming out on May 4th, which is Friday. And I'm also hoping to get some giveaway codes for our Neo Gamer audience to give away for that game. So stay tuned for that. And I think that's all I've got, unless anyone else wants to quickly mention something before we wrap this up.
Nope. Haven't been playing much this week, unfortunately. I've been a bit busy with, you know, Neo and reviews, but Prototype 2 is on my shoe playlist.
Yes, you've been doing a lot of reviews for Neowin and doing an excellent job, Tim.
Thanks.
Absolutely.
I've been reading the smartphone reviews you guys have been doing, and of course, you know, one of our other writers, Owen Williams, has been doing some comparison reviews on Neowin. So sorry to talk about Neowin stuff on NeoGamer, but just thought I'll quickly mention that. but it looks like next week's actually not going to be too busy, but the week after is going to be full up of stuff with Diablo 3 and Max Payne 3 being the big games that are going to be coming out.
Yeah, so on the day that we do the podcast for both those games.
Yes, on the day we'll be doing. Yep, on the day that we're doing the podcast on both those games.
Really?
And, yep. And also, I ought to quickly mention Ghost Recon Future Soldier. That's actually going to be a live-action short, a 25-minute live-action short that'll be serve as a prequel to the game that'll make its debut on Thursday here in the U.S. on the G4 cable TV network. So that looks – I saw it.
25 minutes, not bad.
It's pretty long, yeah. And Microsoft just announced this week they're going to be coming out with a Halo 4 prequel live action web series that'll be 5 segments of 15 minutes each. Well, that's basically a 75-minute movie there that Microsoft is fully funding.
Nice.
So
yeah.
I don't quite understand why Microsoft just doesn't bite the bullet and just fund Halo feature film.
Well, they practically are. I mean,
this one's going to be a web series, so I'm sure that it could be relatively cheap compared to a big feature film. But I think they should just go ahead and do it. And, you know, if George Lucas can fund the Star Wars movies on his own, I think that Microsoft could probably fund a Halo movie on its own.
I think I think part of it is fear, because is one of the most beloved video game franchises there are. And if any video game movie would be so heavily scrutinized, it's a Halo one. So I think part of it is almost, maybe we should just stay away from this, just because it's almost, I think they're almost, you know, it'd be near impossible to make a movie that would please all the Halo fans. So I don't know. I think in a way they're kind of like, let's make these short action ones first.
Yeah, you can ruin a series with a film.
Yeah, yep. And those short action ones that were done, they were awesome, you know? So
yeah, they were actually done as kind of like, you know, test footage for that Halo movie that was supposed to happen then got canceled, because they were directed by the guy who was supposed to direct the film, and then, you know, that project got ended, and then he went on to direct District 9. So,
you go. Maybe they're just holding in their back pocket and wait until like the franchise is almost dead, and then they'll release it and reinvigorate it. Who knows? You know.
We'll see what happens. So, thanks again for listening. Sorry, we're cutting this off. I've got a little bit of a meeting I have to go attend in a few minutes. So sorry about that. We really appreciate all the people who are listening on the streaming podcast. And again, thanks to all of you who are listening to this via recorded. And Tim will be posting the recorded full version of the podcast soon after we're done here. And
yeah, just quickly on that, you can finally subscribe to our podcast via RSS feeds. I got that set up I think last episode. So yeah.
Awesome. Nice. Yeah, that's a big one.
Just add that to your feeds. Should be getting iTunes up quickly, and as well as Zune if they accept it. So yeah, finally you can actually just quickly download our podcasts.
Do me a favor and post that link somewhere so I could put in my signature. That'd be appreciated.
No worries. All right, cool. It should be in the post for this. Just get it.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Excellent. Thank you, Tim. We really appreciate your efforts on that.
No worries.
As I said, we're only 5 weeks away from E3. I'm hoping to actually ramp up the podcast content, perhaps getting some, you know, giveaways and maybe even some developer interviews before our E3 adventure starts. And like I said, we're going to have a sponsor, and I'm hoping we'll actually be able to do a live podcast during E3. So we'll keep your fingers crossed that happens. So
cool. Let me just say, we do have a couple members that have expressed interest of perhaps joining us somehow, and I think me and the guys will talk and figure out. Yeah, me and the guys will talk and figure out the logistics of that, and I think we'll probably in the near future try giving, you know, member guest spots or something along those lines.
We'll definitely talk.
Yep, we'll talk amongst ourselves and figure out how that would work. So I just want to let you know, guys, we did see that.
Yeah, we definitely did see those comments. So yeah, definitely we'll definitely look into that, and we'll get back to you on that. But again, thank you for joining us this week. And I, as always, am John Callahan. And on behalf of Tim and Larry, we thank you for listening. And we will see you for episode 18 next week. Until then, see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.